KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, this is someone we've had here before, and we're really excited to have him back because he's getting ready to do another fantastic feat. It's Ryan Paul Steiner. Welcome, Ryan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And you're here because last year you ran for what's called Ryan's Run now. Last year was the first year you did it. This year you're ready to go again. And Fresno State is very proud to be one of your benefactors. Last year you ran just for Fresno State. This year you're widening the group of people that you're serving with your run. And tell us why you decided to expand.
Well, last year was sort of experimental. Mm-hmm. First of all, I wasn't entirely sure I could actually do the run physically, but we found out that I was. And because of the success that we saw last year, after taking a step back, no pun intended, we looked at the run and we thought, you know, if we can use this run to help more children with autism, why not?
Certainly.
Fresno State's been very gracious, and that's just one of the characteristics of the university, is the openness and the caring and the giving. And so when I approached some people at Fresno State and mentioned that I wanted to include the California Autism Center and Learning Group, they thought it was a great idea. And so that just speaks volumes about the university and about our community at large. And so now we're going to be able to help more kids, more children with autism. So I'm excited.
I think that's great. Well, let's talk about, for those who didn't know, why you started doing this last year. What was your inspiration and how did you choose running from San Francisco to be your starting point? And of course, we know why you're ending up here. But what was it about coming that route that made you feel like it was doable?
Well, really, it comes down to I was sitting on my couch at 5:30 in the morning watching CNN, and some picture came up of the map of California. And I remember just tracing with my eyes from San Francisco to Fresno and thinking, I can run that route. I've driven it a million times. I want to run that. And I had the time. So,
like so many of us, when we look at that route, think, I can run that. Right, Mary?
That thought has never crossed my mind. Not even the route from, I'm not even go there, but I'm glad that it inspired you.
It's fun,
and that you looked at it and you said, I can do that. What was the largest distance that you had ran previous to doing Ryan's Run?
I believe previous to that, I had run something like 33 miles straight before. That had been my longest distance beforehand. But I did remember that when I ran those long distances, like marathons, if I went 26 miles, I always had gas left in the tank. And I always held on to that. So that stayed with me. And I say that just because when I'm planning this run and you're mapping it out and it's 206 miles and you divide it over 10 days, that's about 21 miles roughly per day. I thought, you know what, if I can run 26 miles in a day and still have gas left in the tank, you know, if I train right, I can run 20 miles a day for 10 days.
But that's one day.
True.
When you do it 2, 3, 4, all the way to 10.
Yeah.
What starts happening to your body? I mean, the first day, I would believe you're on adrenaline. You're so excited. You're pumped. You've been building up for this. You want to get the run going. What day does it kick in that you're having to really push yourself through it?
That's a great question, actually. So you're entirely correct. The first day was all adrenaline. In fact, I was pacing really, really fast, and I had to slow myself down.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I felt like I was running slow, I had to slow it down even more because I knew that I had 9 more days.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say about day 4 is when I started to really, I felt a deep pain in my body, but it wasn't excruciating pain. It was just, I'm tired now.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I had a lot of support from people on Facebook, from Fresno State. I was always being reached out by a lot of the people that support me with the social media and through text messaging. All those little things really add up. And then I got a call from Ashley Cipolla's second grade class, and we did a FaceTime event, and I was struggling that day. It was the fourth day, and I just remember saying, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And I just ran the entire distance that day in one shot, and it was from that moment forward, I was like, let's rock and roll, because now it's go time. So day 5, 6, and 7, it hurt, but you just do it. The first mile of every morning was the most painful, because your body is so achy, but you just get work through that ache.
Right. Your body's resisting. It's saying,
oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Why are we doing this again?
Didn't
we do this yesterday? Do we really need to do this?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, you talk about that second grade class, and I thought that it was great how before the run, you went and you met with the class, and They got to hear about what you were doing. And then you also used technology so that they could track you. Tell us a little bit about the technology you used last time. And are you going to be doing this time, or how are you going to change it?
The watch that I had was so unique, and it just happened to fall into my hands. It was a Garmin watch that has GPS like every other piece of equipment we have these days. But when I press the start button every morning, it links up to my Facebook in such a way that people can then go to my Facebook page and watch a dot on a map as it moves. And that's me moving through whatever part of California I was in. So that brought everybody into the run. It really made it interactive.
Yeah, I watched that dot many days.
Me too.
Thank you.
Can I tell the story about one day when I'm watching the dot and it starts traveling north? And I text Ryan and I say, turn around. You're running the wrong way. Yeah.
Was that Halloween?
That was not Halloween. Every day I have a story from that run. There was one part of California where there was a washed out path. And I remember stopping and my dad pulling up in his car next to me. And we're sitting there, we're strategizing. And he looked at me and he said, you know, and my dad maps things. That's his world, the nuts and bolts of things. And he said, you know, I think we got to go north a little bit. Uh-huh. And I remember thinking, what do you mean we have to go north? I just came from there. He's like, we got to go back about 2 miles. Okay, stick with me here. And then we're going to turn around and we're going to start coming home again.
Well, 2 miles, that's all right.
2 miles was okay. I sprinted that.
10 miles is bad.
But I was so pleased to be watching that at that moment, being able to text him, because I knew there was a reason why
something
he was doing
wrong.
It.
Either someone stole his watch and took off north, or Ryan was going the wrong way.
You hurt for him at this point anyway. And, you know, every step is painful. And I'm thinking, don't go that way.
Wrong way.
Well, talking about painful steps, wasn't there a part of the run where you took your socks off or something like that?
I don't run with socks at all, actually, and I had to put socks on.
Oh, you put them on.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is sort of very counterintuitive, and people are going to sit there scratching their heads. But my feet, I definitely cracked a bone in the arch of my foot from hitting a curb incorrectly the first day.
Oh.
And then it got worse on the third day, and then it was pretty bad by the fourth and fifth, but you just sort of run through it. But then my feet started, I wasn't getting any sores or anything like that, but they were just aching, and so I was so upset, but I had to put on some orthopedic socks, some medical socks to run in. And my mom was very adamant, you know, she's putting sunscreen on me like I'm, you know, in fifth grade.
Well, they were really
like,
cute. They were very Forrest Gumpish.
Well, thank you.
Takes us right into your Halloween experience.
Yes, that was something.
So tell our listeners how you chose to dress yourself for Halloween and what happened to you.
Well, I thought, you know, I'm going to be running during the Halloween season. So I need to dress up. I think that'd be great and interactive. So naturally, I thought, I'll be Forrest Gump because he does that run in the movie.
Right.
So I got the shorts that a nice kid from Dick's Sporting Goods in Tracy pulled off of a mannequin and broke his legs off to get these shorts for me. He was very confused. They were very short shorts. I got the shoes and the socks and the wig. I had the whole thing. And so I start running and I tell my dad, I said, hey, go up about 2 miles. We pinpointed on a map and take some pictures as I'm running. And then we can put them on Facebook for everyone. And so as I'm running, people are honking and I'm waving and it's just great. You got to own it. The problem was I got to the intersection that my father and I planned to meet at, but I noticed that it wasn't really the right intersection. We had sort of had a miscommunication. I thought, well, shoot. So I tried to call him, but then I remembered, oh, can't get a hold of him because I broke his phone last night.
Oh, my.
So I didn't have communication with my father. We were lost and his phone was broken. And then the nice thing was, this is the best part, it started raining and it was pouring rain and my beard and everything.
Insult to injury.
I'll just tell you this. There was a point where I said out loud, I was very upset, and I said out loud, this is part of the journey. Just embrace it. And so I just embraced it.
Wow.
I went into a McDonald's and mothers were pulling their children away from me. It was very scary. I looked very scary in my outfit, but we figured it out.
Well, I remember the picture that your dad took of you sitting in the McDonald's when he finally found you. And it was pretty hilarious. I probably would have taken my child to the side, too. Yeah.
We still have those snapshots. I'll put them on the Facebook page again.
Definitely. People are going to want to see that. But what was it about the run that was unexpected? I mean, that's obvious. One of the things, obviously. But were there any other things that you didn't anticipate but you experienced during the run?
You know, sure. To be honest with you, Fresno State support, I knew the idea was last minute. And I was going to do the run regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very surprised. It was a pleasant surprise at how quickly Fresno State jumped on board. And they really did a lot to help out with the run. And there are certain people in certain positions that really went out of their way to make very special arrangements for the run and make it special. And so that meant a lot to me because, you know, the more fanfare that's given to this run, I hate saying it, but it's really, it's not a self-serving thing. It's just the more that we can build this up, the more spotlight is shined on the kids in the center and things like that. So I loved how people rallied around it. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by the support, and I was pleasantly surprised. So that was cool.
So your dad was with you along last year's route. Is he going to be your traveling buddy this time too?
He is. You know, my dad made the comment. It was funny. He said, you know, I'll do this year. And he said, maybe next year we'll find someone that can pick it up. Because he took 10 days off work.
Right. That's hard.
But, you know, I know my dad well enough that I didn't have to say anything, because this year he said, hey, so are we getting ready for the run?
When do we go?
He was ready to go. So my dad's going to do 5 days, and he's going to overlap with my mom, who really wants to do five. She wants to do half the run. She loved it.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's pretty fun.
So what did it feel like when you ran into Fresno and you started to see people that had heard about the run? Were they cheering for you? Tell us that type of feeling. And when you ran onto campus and there were children from the Autism Center there with their families ready to greet you.
I loved it. Another neat aspect of the run was, as I got closer to Fresno, the last 3 days, every single day I ran, there was a different person that would run with me. I didn't invite them. I didn't ask them. They just pulled up in a van. Their mom or dad or friend dropped them off, and they started running with me. And I invariably would say, you know, about a mile in, hey, how you doing? And they'd say, hey, I'm just running with you. You're Ryan, right? And so then we'd run, and I'd build relationships with them that way. A lot of the kids I coached in water polo came and ran with me randomly.
Oh, great.
And so it was nice to see the support, and it felt really good to finish something that I said I was going to do. I'm finishing something that I had committed to, and that was a good feeling.
That's wonderful. And last year, the end of the run coincided with our homecoming, and you were able to go into the stadium along with some of the clients from the Autism Center and their families. And it was great to let the community know about the center and to have that type of excitement and buzz. So what has been the reaction after the run?
You know, after the run, life sort of settled down, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't expect everyone to know what Ryan's Run is. You know, we changed our name from the Ryan Steiner Run for a Cause Project, which is a mouthful, to Ryan's Run.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect everybody to know what it is. If I did this for 100 years, I wouldn't still. But it's interesting because people will ask me, hey, so when do I sign up for that run? Or when are we doing that run? And and on one hand, I love that they know that the run exists. On the other hand, I hate having to tell them, you know, it's not really like a 5K or a 10K type of run. It's like, I'm just doing this run. And so explaining to people and educating people on a regular basis, I love it. I like doing it because it gives me another chance to talk to the people about something that's important to me and something that they're interested in because they asked about it. And so the consistency of that, I thought once the run ended, it was done, but it hasn't been. It's been a continuum. And I'm prepared for that. And I embrace that. I'm happy about it.
So this year's run starts on Tuesday, October 27th. And what point in San Francisco do you start from?
I'm starting at Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny. I do have to say this. I was not able to get across the Bay Bridge. So there was one point where my father drove me in the very beginning. But to legitimize the entire thing, because there's always somebody who's going to say, well, he didn't run from.
You technically.
Oh, I started at Fisherman's Wharf and I ran the exact mileage needed to get across that bridge. And then obviously I got across the bridge. And then the second we were across, he dropped me off and I ran. So I'm doing it again that way. I'm starting at Fisherman's Wharf and I'll run from there.
Are you taking the same route or are you going to switch it up a little bit?
The same route. I'm going to take the same route.
Except for that part where they had to go back north.
We will avoid that part, but we'll run right by it. But we were talking to somebody and they said, oh, this whole area, it's a crapshoot. You know, sometimes you'll get this road and it's washed out. And so I wouldn't be surprised if I'll be heading north at some point. But it'll be the same route, but we are looking at a different route instead of going through Dos Palos. Because I was running on a very dangerous freeway, and even for me, and I don't mind running on the road, this was very dangerous. So there's a 5 mile area we need to work out, but yeah, okay. Same route.
And then it's going to end on November the 5th, which is a Thursday, and that'll be a football game night too.
That's right.
And so hopefully we can either have the same type of a welcome for you here or something else that will parallel it. But, you know, we're really excited that you're doing this. Number one, I wish you good health and your safety the run. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that you put yourself out there like this for others. And I really appreciate that. And just for me, being an observer of the whole run last year, seeing the families of the clients and how happy they were to have someone step up and do something unique to bring attention to what their families are facing was very important to them. And you've had a chance to interact with a lot of the families. So I know that you get a lot of gratification from that. You have a new goal this year. Last year, you raised $11,000. This year, you're going for $30,000.
We are. Yeah. And that's a goal that I chose and we set. And, you know, it may be lofty, but I actually don't focus on the goal anymore. I had to step back from doing that because it was stressing me out. It was just causing me so much unnecessary stress when this is an event where, frankly, if we raise a dollar, we've succeeded. Really, if we tell someone about the Autism Center, we've succeeded technically. So the $30,000, we're working hard to hit and we need the help of the community. But we just leave that up to the hands of God. I mean, that's just how it's going
to
be.
So what are the ways that people can get involved? Tell us about your Facebook page. We'll post up the information for those of you who want to find it. And I hope a lot of you will at least seek it out and read more about Ryan's Run and more about the different benefactors that are going to be receiving from this. Mm-hmm. But how can we help you?
The best type of support is monetary support for donations. If you go to www.gofundme.com/Ryan's Run 2015, that'll take you there. You can also donate directly to the Autism Center. There is a link on the Facebook page, Ryan's Run.
Okay.
And that shows you how to directly donate to the Autism Center. That's another great way to give.
Okay.
Spreading the word really is just on par with giving money, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We've seen so much success from people just talking about it.
Raising awareness.
Yeah, share a status on Facebook. That'll help.
Do you have a Facebook page that's dedicated to Ryan's Run?
We do. And it's sort of linked up with both autism centers, so you can easily find the benefactors' pages and examine what they're doing and the amazing things that they're doing in the community, too.
What about Twitter?
We are stepping back from Twitter. I'm pulling the reins on Twitter and on Instagram. It's too much, and I don't have time for it, frankly.
Okay.
But we do have a Instagram page, and it does have pictures on it regularly. And so,
well, I'll share it on Twitter
thanks.
For you.
Thank you.
And then last year you had a drone, which I loved watching the drone and the video that you did. Are you going to be doing that this year?
I hope so. In fact, I'm going to just say it right now. Ryan Davis, if you're listening to this, he's a Fresno State alum. I need your help again. I know he's busy with a brand new newborn, beautiful girl, but I really need your help with that drone. He came through without me even knowing, and he took some amazing footage. And if he can't, we are going to do it.
That video is awesome. I really hope that we can get a link to that, because I think
that
if people see that, it shows you in action and just the different angle. It really lets you see what it's like. There are times you're running out in the middle of nowhere. You're along a canal. And there was one point in your run, I think you said that a pack of dogs were chasing you.
I was chased by multiple dogs throughout the run. The most ferocious one was this little tiny chihuahua. I'm not making this up. Dust Palace. It nipped at my heels for about 4 miles. I thought, I'm going to take this dog home with me. It's not going. I couldn't get it, so. Yeah.
Well, if it runs all the way to Fresno, it becomes your dog, right?
Yeah, right.
Tell the bug story really quick.
Oh, sure. So a lot of people don't know, in California, we have this wetlands that runs through the middle of California, in the heart of it. A lot of duck clubs and hunting clubs out there, but it's a very moist, wet, humid environment. And so, of course, there are flora and fauna and lots of bugs. And I was running, and of course, I'm hot, sweaty, and there's these bugs that are just, you know, being relentless. And then there are more bugs. And then at one point I felt like I was covered in bugs. And And so I was getting upset. I was losing my temper internally. And I thought, you know what? Again, you got to check this, because this is part of the journey. And guess what? You're going to talk about it someday when you're in a nice, cooled room with people, and you'll be laughing about it, which is what we're doing now. So it's like I was covered in bugs, and I made a quick little video just saying, you know what?
When I felt so bad
tough,
for
you
that day.
You just hang in there. And those bugs are relentless, I tell you.
Well, anger is good fuel for running.
Yes, it is. Right? It's very good fuel.
Anger and discomfort.
Uh-huh.
So thank you again, Ryan, for coming in. And we're really excited to get Ryan's Run going this year and to help you meet your mark.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
We also have with us today Tim Yeager. He's the executive director of the Behavioral Science Institute and the Autism Center at Fresno State. Welcome, Tim.
I'm glad to be here.
Nice to see you again.
Well, Tim, I invited you here because I wanted you to share with our listeners what Ryan's Run meant to the Autism Center at Fresno State last year. And first off, let's talk about the mission that the Autism Center has.
Yeah, our mission's pretty simple. It's to further the field of behavior analysis through training, service, and research. And so we have three big key points.
Okay.
We train students, either undergraduate students from a variety of colleges in the university, or undergraduate students from the College of Science and Math in the psychology department.
Okay.
First and foremost, we want to train our students and then send them off into the field to make a difference in our community. We provide service to the community, rather at the Autism Center, early intervention service to children with autism from 18 months to 6 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
to the children as well as their parents. We offer parent training as well. And then the Autism Center functions as a platform for research for our faculty.
And the demand for services for families affected by autism is growing. It's huge, and especially in our area. And I remember you telling me that when I interviewed you before. So much that we have expanded, and we now have an autism center that we partnered with at Children's Hospital. And it looks like there might be other partnerships developing in the future. What does it mean to families to be able to have more access and to find new ways to help their children lead the most fulfilling lives possible?
You know, I've talked to a lot of parents, and when they first hear the child's diagnosed with autism,
yes,
there's a grieving process that goes through it.
Yes.
And it's a, you know, a great opportunity that we're able to come in there and be a part of that process. Mm-hmm. Provide answers to a lot of questions that they have, and then provide a service to a disability that's not static. It's not a fixed disability like a lot of other disabilities. With early intervention services, the types of services we provide, a lot of those deficits can be remediated. And so, you know, I had a conversation recently with a parent where Spanish is the primary language at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the mother about, you know, when we're doing instruction to her child, do you want us to do it in English? Do you want us to do it in Spanish? Mm-hmm. Should we do a mix? And she said, hold on, my child's going to talk. She's like, you're here talking to me about two different languages that you want to work on. And she never even come to understand that her child would actually have a voice. And
well, I would imagine that when you get that diagnosis, it's the fear of the unknown, because the autism spectrum has such a wide range of functionality, you automatically fear for the worst.
Yeah.
And then being able to talk to people like yourself and learn of all the possibilities that your child will be able to achieve, depending upon what their level on the spectrum is, it gives them hope.
Yeah.
You hear that diagnosis and you feel hope is gone. And then you're able to come in and say, no, there is hope. And these are the ways we're going to work with you to maximize what your child is able to do.
Definitely. It's a long road.
Yes.
You know, our kids work anywhere from 20 to 35 hours a week.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time for them. It's a lot of time for their parents. Another example is we have a parent who we're trying to figure out how to fund transportation for, because she drives 4 hours a day on the bus.
Oh my goodness.
To bring her child, you know, an hour one way, drop him off, then she goes back to take another kid and then comes back to pick him up an hour. And so our child's also right on the bus 2 hours. And
that's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And fortunately, he's making a lot of progress.
That's good. So
the mom sees the benefit in it. But for us to be able to provide other types of opportunities in the community to expand those services and provide access to services in other areas of the community could limit transportation issues like that.
So what was your reaction when you heard about Ryan's run last year?
Oh, well, initially it comes to me, I think it was 3 to 4 weeks prior to the event.
Yes, it was a very short window of opportunity there.
My first thought was, this guy's crazy. I looked around for cameras to see if someone was playing a joke on me.
Uh-huh.
But then once I talked to him, I realized that he was a genuine guy. With a heart to serve and to run. And so, you know, we pioneered a new type of relationship at the university with an independent guy like Ryan. And from it, we've just received not only the money, which was a nice benefit, but a lot of awareness to the community about the services we provide, the community within the university, as well as the community outside in Fresno. And it also, I think, meant a lot to our parents, and to see somebody outside of our employees working so hard to bring awareness to their struggles as a parent, the disability, autism disorder, as well as bring a name to what we're doing.
Well, I was there on the day when Ryan ran onto campus, and you had a lot of your clients there with their families, and just seeing the joy on their face and how excited the kids were. What was the reaction? What did they tell you it meant for this to happen?
You know, a lot of parents were in tears. A lot of parents were thankful. A lot of parents wanted to know like what they could do to help. You know, I think at the heart of it, it's a beautiful metaphor. Our parents are in the midst of a long journey.
Yes.
And Ryan sets out on this long journey. And although those journeys are, you know, much different, they're both difficult. And I think our parents kind of gravitated toward that. And they're really appreciative.
And then when they ran into the stadium for homecoming.
Yeah.
That was incredible. And they were showing the video of the center and some of the examples of, you know, your kids interacting and just the community's reaction. I had so many people come up to me afterwards or send me emails saying, I didn't even know that there was an autism center at Fresno State. What was the community reaction that you experienced?
We received a lot of communication following that.
Wonderful.
We've had and started to develop a lot of partnerships within the community mm-hmm. following that with respect to other organizations that provide a similar type of service that we could work together. Because the fact is, Fresno's a big city.
Yes.
There's a lot of organizations that provide services to children with autism, children with disabilities, and just children in general.
Mm-hmm.
And in this last year, we've been able to become a part of that and work on this continuum of care and you know, provide our expertise in that situation as well as learn from others. And it's been great to move from a center that provides good service to a center that can be a resource to the community and be part of the community. And Ryan's Run definitely helped with that.
That's great. So this year, the goal is 30,000, and we are one of a couple of benefactors. So what are some ways that that money can be used to help the center?
There's a lot of types of improvements that were going on at
okay.
the Autism Center. One area is we've expanded our square footage. Mm-hmm. And so the president and the provost both have been really supportive. We've almost quadrupled the square footage that we have at the Autism Center in the last year. And
that's
we're
great
going
news.
Through, it's wonderful news. We're going through improving the structure as well as technology mm-hmm. and what type of technology can we add to the center. One area that we're working on right now is including video cameras in all of our rooms to allow for parents to observe their children, what's going
oh,
on
that's
in there.
Good.
It allows us to do different types of research for our faculty to where we mm-hmm. can measure types of conversations our kids having without being in the room and interacting them with any way.
Yes.
So we have a lot of technology needs that we're looking at. We have a lot of trainings that we're looking at investing into our staff in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
And down the road, we're looking at building additional space, a new building itself. And so
that's all exciting stuff.
It's very exciting stuff.
And great. Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time to come over today and talk to us a little bit about the center. We're excited about the run. I know I'll see you out there. I think you ran for part of it last year with Ryan, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did Fig run. Garden? About 2%.
But that shows that you put your feet where your heart was.
Yeah.
You know, you just went for it. And we're looking forward to a great run this year. Much success to Ryan. And we are so grateful that he selected Fresno State to be one of the benefactors. And we wish him the best.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you to Ryan. And thank you to KFSR as well for highlighting the Autism Center and Ryan's Run.
It's our pleasure. Well, thanks again to our very special guests, Ryan Steiner of Ryan's Run and Tim Yeager, the Executive Director of the Behavioral Science Institute and the Autism Center at Fresno State. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.